podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
But it is an honor to be here. It's been an interesting journey for us to be pastors. I didn't want to be a pastor because I didn't want to be poor financially. And I didn't want to be criticized because I'm a second generation pastor and I saw what my parents went through and I didn't want to do that. But it cost my parents their marriage. My father was an adulterer, multiple affairs in churches, and yet he planted churches all over New Zealand. So it's kind of weird. I love him. Before he died, I told him. It's the toughest thing I've ever had to do because I hated him. But God changed my heart. And ministry is not for the faint-hearted. To be a pastor is a tough gig. It's a lot easier ways of making money than making a living than being a pastor. But the thing is, it's the thing that God compels you to do. I tried to run from the call of God. It cost me a huge accident that just about destroyed my feet. And I'm a miracle that I can walk. And so I'll pull it together in a minute. But I just know that this church has got a destiny that is supernatural. And I believe that Amy and Brad, that you mustn't fear anyone. You must stand strong. You'll be criticized. You'll be hated. All hell will break loose when you step and build a building. When you try and buy anything and put a stake in the ground, all hell breaks loose because the devil hates it. But I tell you what, God's with you. He's gonna do supernatural things. He gave us a building in West Gosford when we didn't have much money at all. A pastor gave me a building who totally opposed us. He rang me up one day and said, if you don't change the name of your church, I'll take you to court and sue you. That's when you get home from church on a Sunday night. You don't expect a phone call from another pastor like that. And I'm not exaggerating, that's the absolute truth. But in the end, he gave us his building, which set us up, which put us in a really strong position. So God can do anything. And so I just want to encourage you today. You know, you are great leaders. You're not perfect. They're not perfect, in case you wondered. There's not one perfect person. There's not one perfect pastor on the face of the earth. We're flawed humanity with clay feet. So don't put us on a pedestal. We'll just fall off. And don't worship us. All we are here to do is point you to Jesus. That's all pastors are here to do, is to point you to Jesus. And if you look to us for your support, if you look to us for your spirituality, you're going to fail. You look to Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. And when you've been a pastor for 45 years, as we have, and preached many times and lived in four different countries and seen God do supernatural things, you get to a stage where you realize that God is pretty amazing. So thank God, eh? And I just pray, we'll be praying for you in this season. It's yours. God will give it. Wherever you place your feet, God will give it to you. And if you have to, march around the city and take a hold of it, because God will give it to you. It's fantastic. So I just want to encourage you. And we'll be praying for you guys, because you're in a good place. We were in Mark Zare's church 3 weeks ago preaching. And what a guy. What a guy. The first time I met him, he walked down my driveway with two slabs of beer, one on each shoulder, and the language was unbelievable. I remember playing soccer with Mark Zare, and I sort of took him aside and said, bro, you know, I love you, mate, but there's a whole bunch of new Christians here, and maybe you could just tone down the language, because there's a lot of fire trucks on that field. And may God delights. God delights in taking failures and setting them up for successes. And let's face it, we're all failures. We're all wicked sinners saved by grace. And it's good. So God is good. This morning, I'm going to preach on Psalm 23. I'm going to teach on Psalm 23. In all my years of preaching, I've never preached on Psalm 23, except I read it once at a funeral. I have preached this message in Mark Zare's church, and now I'm preaching it to you. And I pray it encourages you. I pray it blesses you. I'm going to use two translations. I'm going to use the NIV, and I'm going to use the Passion Translation, because it just brings out the truth of this psalm in a really powerful way. It's a really beautiful psalm. So let's go. I think I was supposed to finish in 2 minutes, because the run sheet said I should be finished by 11:06, and it's 11:05. So someone took more time than they should have. It's all good, but the boss said I can keep going. I got 28 minutes. I'd imagine a lot of people know Psalm 23. There's probably a lot of secular, call them how you, describe them how you will, unchurched, unbelievers. But let's not categorize them as, they're just people that God loves and they just don't know it yet. There are people out there that just don't know that God loves them. And we've got to tell them. We've got to help them. So this is an amazing psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, the NIV says. The Lord is my shepherd. The word most commonly used for shepherd is actually taken from the root word. It's a Hebrew word, raha, R-A-A-H, which also is the Hebrew word for best friend. So the Lord is not just your shepherd, he's actually your best friend. So let me read it to you from the Passion Translation, that one line. In the NIV it said, the Lord is my shepherd. But in the Passion Translation it says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. So it changes the whole context of the passage, because we just think, we can think of a shepherd looking after sheep. We are sheep, we're likened to be sheep. So the Lord is our shepherd, but he's not just our shepherd. And by the way, shepherds understand sheep, and shepherds know how to treat sheep. And sometimes pastors need to learn how to treat their sheep better and not control and manipulate them and suck money out of them and use them as just a tool to get where they want to get. But a shepherd is someone who cares for, loves, and is their best friend. So think about this. The Lord is your best friend this morning. And best friends, when you've got a best friend, they'll support you, they'll love you, they'll have your back. They'll never criticize you. They'll never talk bad about you, because they're your best friend. And so when we think about the Lord being our best friend, it kind of changes the whole understanding of God, because people don't understand God. They think that he's mad at them. Not mad, but mad at them. People think God's angry, and he's not. God's not looking for vindication. God's not judging. God's full of love. God loves everybody without exception. We've heard it already from Brad. It was powerful. Set me up for this message. He didn't know what I was... Well, I guess he did know, because I did send him the notes yesterday, so he might have read the message, but... But he is our shepherd and he loves us. How good is that? The non-Christian, the unchurched person doesn't know God as their best friend. It's a problem, but we can fix it. You know, you get an invitation to a wedding, and the reason you get an invitation to a wedding is because they know you as a good friend or a relative. Well, sometimes we invite our relatives because we have to, but and we hope they don't turn up when we invite them to, you know, we just say, well, we're going to invite them, but hopefully they won't come. But we invite people we love, and we accept the invitation because, and we RSVP because we want to be there. We've been invited. And you'll move heaven and hell to be where you've been invited. That's why we need to get out amongst the world that not just invite people to church. Can I just add more to that? Because if you were, why would someone come because you invited them? Someone comes to your wedding because of what? Relationship. The reason when you invite someone to church, they'll come because not only have you just invited them, you actually have built a relationship with them. So I want you to think about Jesus. Zacchaeus is up a tree. He's walking through the city, and Jesus knows he's in the tree, and Jesus had to actually look up and see him. He's a little guy, but Jesus is walking through the town, but he actually looked up, and he saw Zacchaeus in a tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, he ignored the rest. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. And every religious person criticized Jesus for going to a home of a tax collector. So don't be surprised when people criticize you and don't understand you. Jesus copped it, the Son of Man. He was criticized for loving sinners. I don't get that. He took a woman that was caught in adultery and said, go and sin no more. He never judged her. He just wrote in the sand of all the people that had been with her. All the religious around were just being, and they were like, slowly they all walked away. Isn't it sad that we can't just do what Jesus did? And I know it's not in this church, but I get tired. I absolutely get tired of Christians who are so critical and so judgmental and have everything categorized and everyone sorted out. And look, we just got to be a friend of the worst of the worst. We got to be alongside people. We got to get up into the lives of people that the world has written off. But you know, whether it's the top end of town or the bottom end of town, we got good friends who are building a great church. And in that church, there are people in that church that are a high level executives, and equally there are people who wouldn't have two bob to rub together. And I've watched that pastor love everybody from high end executives to watching him sit on a train platform. He sat down beside them and said, tell me your story. Why have you got no money? Why are you homeless? Help me to understand why you're homeless. Whether it be a homosexual or a transgender, everybody needs Jesus, don't they? Come on, guys. I know it's true. I'm preaching to the choir. Let's not get judgmental about anybody but by the grace of God, I just talked about my father. But by the grace of God, I would have gone the same way. My grandfather was an adulterer. My father was an adulterer. I was next in line. And so it's only the grace of God that has stopped me. And sometimes it's been people literally praying for me when I could have gone down the wrong pathway. We're all sinners saved by grace. And I want to be someone who doesn't just invite people to church, but has built a relationship with that person so that when I invite them because of relationship, listen, they won't just come because you invited them. I don't mean to be harsh this way. I'm trying to help you to understand the importance of we invite because we have relationship, and because we have relationship, the invitation, they'll respond because this person loves me. They've built a relationship with me, so I'll come. Really quickly, when we moved to Blaxland, to the Blue Mountains 11 years ago, there was a guy who started a cafe just down the road from where we lived. And so I like coffee, so we built a relationship. And for 3 years, I built a relationship with him and never told him who I was, what I did, and who I knew. And he would, and then a couple of times he had told me, you know, have you ever heard of Hillsong Church? Yeah, I have heard of it. But I wanted to build a relationship. Well, long story short, after 3 years, I invited him to come to our church. He was shocked that I was a pastor. And he came and I preached the sermon, Why I'm a Christian. Why I am a Christian. I answered every question he had about God about spirituality, and at the end of my message, he put his hand up and got saved. And then when he found out that Brian Houston was a really close friend of mine, I've known Brian since he was 14, and I know all about Hillsong. In fact, I used to work for them for 10 years. He was kind of shocked, but I didn't want to just name drop and try and build. I wanted to seriously build a relationship because the guy was so messed up. And you know, that was about 5 years ago, and he's still messed up. He's still using dope. He's still using drugs. He's still messing his life up. I think he's on the verge of bankruptcy. But I've never quit on him, and I'll never give up on him, and I'll keep loving him. And when he slaps me around and sometimes completely ignores me, I'll still be there. Because that's, I believe, and not because I'm a great hero, it's because I understand grace, because he who's been forgiven much loves much. And when you understand grace, not law, grace, right. When you understand God loves you and he's not mad and he cares about you, the Lord is our shepherd, he's our best friend. He loves us, he's powerful. See, the unchurched person would never think about God as potentially being their best friend. Because most people's concept of God is probably like this. God is angry at me. God doesn't like me. I'm a terrible person. I could never be loved by God. He's unhappy about the way I live, and so on and so on and so on. The world's concept of God is usually not right. They just cannot comprehend God as loving, forgiving, and accepting. If you meet someone whose life is completely messed up, all they think is, God would never, how could God ever love me? But he does. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what language you use. I'm going to tell you, if you've heard Carl Lentz preach, you've probably heard this story. There was a guy who was coming to church. He was a homeless person and an alcoholic. And he said, just tell him I'm busy. He just said that as the guy came to the church, the people at the door didn't quite know what to do. And Carl said, go and get him a beer. So they went and bought this guy a beer, and the guy came back and he said, can I bring it in here? Carl said, yeah, come and sit in the front row. I've got a seat right down the front. Right next to me. This is actually true. It's good for the religious, you know. So the guy's sitting in the front row during the worship and he's enjoying the beer that the church paid for. How good is that? Free beer for the alcoholics. So he's on the front row and I haven't got a... Pass me a bottle, would you, Brad? So Carl is preaching. Oh, there's one right there. Thanks, mate. He's preaching and he looks at this guy and he says, cheers. And the guy goes, cheers, mate. He didn't say mate, he's not Australian, but cheers. And I thought, what a great story. That plays with religious people because, and you know what? The story is that guy's life was transformed. And I could tell you story after story after story, as you could tell story after story, because we're all just messed up people who just need to know that God loves us. So don't be religious and don't get all messed up when you see people using language they shouldn't use. And, you know, I'd rather have a church full of smokers than a church full of gossipers. I want to provide ashtrays so they can smoke in the foyer. It's all good because our church should be messy.
That's right.
Homosexuals, gay, lesbian, whatever. They're all invited.
That's right.
Because why? Because Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. And the religious hate, that's why they crucified. The religious crucified Jesus. He came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, He gave them the power to become sons of God. You know, I think we've got to go through a radical rethink. Because Pentecostal churches in Australia, numbers are in attendance. The churches are decreasing. When a new church starts, we shift some people from one church to another. And so we just cycle people around. But we've got to win the lost. We've got to be winning people. You know, when I started pastoring my church, we were 30 years of age in Terrigal. Just a slight correction. I didn't actually start Terrigal. Brian Houston did. And he came in July 1980 to start a church. And then he wrote to us and said, there's a church on the Central Coast. And I was in New Zealand. He was here now. And he said, you need to come and pastor it. And I said, I'm not interested. But long story short, we came. And God spoke to me and said, these people are sheep without a shepherd. So we started and we passed and we started with 15 people. But I've got to be honest and say to you, as a 30-year-old with a passion to preach, and all I saw was crowds, and I just wanted to preach to the whole world. I wanted to be like Billy Graham. I saw crowds. But at 69 years of age, I don't see crowds anymore. I just see one. I just see one person. I just see the ones. Why? Because I believe Jesus saw Zacchaeus. He saw the one. There was crowds everywhere, but Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And Jesus saw you. And Jesus saw me. And he loves the one. And you know it. And people used to say it to me as a pastor, and I didn't like it. Jesus left. The Bible says, Jesus said, leave the 99 and go after the one. Well, I'm too busy building churches. I'm too busy. I want to double the church. I want to see numbers. I get upset when the church is not full. I don't want to preach to empty seats. I want the crowds. I'm just being honest. But churches are built on the ones, aren't they? Yeah. Leave the 99 and go after the one. And sometimes going after the one is hard work. Because they don't listen and they don't want to respond and they get angry and they get upset and they... But if you love people, if you just love people like Jesus would love people, the churches, we aren't going to handle the crowds of people coming. You know, God is a supernatural God and God wants to change hearts and our nation needs a miracle. Australia is desperate for a move. Fires, droughts like we've never seen in history. You know, when you go out to some of the country churches, as we've been doing lately, just going out, we're going to Henty next weekend, and you go into sheep properties where we stay with the pastor of Henty, who's also a farmer, and you look at how hard they work and the drought and all the lack of water, and you think, oh my gosh, Australia needs a move of God. And there's all sorts of theories about this, that, and the other, but at the end of the day, Australia just needs Jesus, just like the world needs Jesus, right? Man, I'm not getting very fast through this message. Goes on and says in verse 1, he said, the NIV, it says, I lack nothing. Or the Passion Translation says, I always have more than enough. God will always provide. Your shepherd and your best friend will always make sure that you have more than enough. He'll take care of you. God is faithful. You can't outgive God. A little secret. Let me give you a little secret, a little spiritual secret. When you're always, always thankful in everything in life, you will find contentment. Amen. And godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. What does it matter if a man gains a whole world and loses his soul? Thankfulness. Have a thankful heart, and you'll no longer be striving in any area of your life. You won't strive. You won't strive. You know, people try and, you know, you strive for this and you want this and you want this and you want this. And at the end of the day, it's just peace with God. It's just people finding peace with God. Psalm 23 shows us that it's not about doing. It's found in the resting. We rest in God. It's not about our doing. People want, let's do more. Let's do more. No, let's just rest. Let's rest in the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. And I'm not saying about resting, we do nothing. But when you rest in the arms of God and you don't strive, because who said he'd build the church? He said he'd build his church.
That's right.
I will build my church. So we can't build anything. You can't build a ministry. You can't build anything. But he said, I will build my church. So we rest in the fact, well, what do I do? Well, our role is to get out there and get amongst lost, broken people and love them. And if we get about love, and we don't have to have the answer. You know, when someone dies and they lose a loved one, we're staying with someone this weekend who lost her husband. I led him to the Lord. I conducted his funeral. I was there when he died. And it's been 3 years now. Excuse me, it's a very emotional morning this morning. He's been gone 3 years, and I look at her and I think, you know, there's nothing clever you can say except just, I'll give you a hug. I got nothing. I don't know what it's like to. I've been married. We've been married and happily married. I can't imagine what it's like for her. And she's got great kids. I spent time with her son yesterday, and we had fun. And it was a beautiful day. But I just think, oh God. And I woke up this morning. I was sitting in one of the rooms in their house, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand why you took him. Why did you take him? But then, at the end of the day, all I can do is, you know best. I just trust you, and that's what we can do, isn't it? So there's nothing clever that we can say to people. We just need to love people. You know, whoever you see, don't be afraid to give them a hug. You may not be an expressive, kind of loving person, but people just need to be loved. People just need to feel that they're, hey, it's okay. And don't use religious terms. Just say, hey, you know, when they talk about the man upstairs, well, amen. It's the man upstairs. However they describe God. Well, like the atheist who said one day, I'm an atheist, thank God. It's like everybody believes, don't they? At the end of the day, when they're on their deathbed, they're hoping the man upstairs is going to love them. But it's better to get them now and love them and, you know, people just need to be loved. You get my point. Because the Lord is our shepherd and he's our best friend. Goes on to say, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's proof that he truly loves us. You know, the Greek word for love is agape, which is a merging of two words and two concepts. Ago, A-G-O, means to lead like a shepherd, and pao, P-A-O, is a verb that means to rest. So, if someone's got a tissue, that would be great. Thanks, guys. There's one in my black bag, man, beside you, Mark. Love is our shepherd, leading us. Oh, thanks, bro. Thanks, Brad. Love is our shepherd, leading us to the place of true rest in his heart. Love is our shepherd, leading us to the place of true rest in his heart. See, when people get a revelation of their identity in Christ and who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ, they're loved by God, they're made in the image of God, and their identity is found not in what they own, what they have, or what they say, or what gift they claim to have. Their true identity is only ever found in the God in us. And the God in us is the hope of God ever getting any glory out of us. It's the Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So what's in us? Jesus. So you're a young Christian and you still use bad language. Don't worry, it's okay. Friends might be judging you, but I can tell you, I can promise you, God is not shocked by your bad language. And God's not shocked that you still smoke and you still drink and you can't beat it. Hang in there, because God changes from the inside out. It's not about, Christianity is not behavior modification. It's a change of heart. People want to modify behavior. Well, let's dress differently. Let's act differently. Let's just be ourselves. Be yourself. Be true to yourself. Don't compare. Be true to yourself. God's your shepherd. He's your best friend. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He lets me rest in his heart. He says, it's okay. it's okay. When I had to go to my dad and tell him, Dad, I love you, I didn't know what response I'd get on the other side of the door, but I knocked on his door in a place called Tuakau in New Zealand where he was living, now married to somebody else, not my mother. And I knocked on his door and I fell into his arms and we bawled together and he said something good about me and that's all I needed. I just heard one good thing because he told me I wouldn't mount too much and I wouldn't drive a car and all those things, you know, that those in authority say to you that sometimes really hurt and they damage you. But when you come to Jesus and you throw your lot, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So, but the process of the old going and the new coming, it doesn't happen in a flash. You know, marriage is a journey, isn't it? Like it's a journey. It's a tough journey being married. Be tough being married to me and you know, a New Zealander meets a Scots person. There's a movie or a book in that one, you know. Her father wanted me to wear a kilt and I said, I don't have the legs for it. And it was really funny. Like he was serious. But I wasn't laughing because I was so, yeah, Marilyn just reminded me. I wasn't laughing. I was so, you know, I was so, I don't know, insecure. Thank you. And that's very true, I was. And she was insensitive. But we toughened up. We toughened up. And we got through it. And you know, life is like that, isn't it? You know, life is a journey of development. But you don't wait. People say, well, when I've got all this sorted, I'll let God use me. No, he just says, get saved and go out and tell someone you found Jesus, warts and all, and just go for it. Love people. And just love on people, and people just want to be loved. I said it, and we still live at the mountains at the moment before we move overseas when we get our visas. We've sold everything we own. We sold everything. Last week, I sold everything. Bad everything. We got nothing except two cars, which are going to both be sold, and Marilyn's got a piano. That's all we own. We sold everything. We sold every last cutlery, plate. It's such a good feeling having nothing. It's great. I feel free. It's great. And I've got a daughter who took us in until we leave. But but that's the journey. It's a season for us and a new season. But you know, that freedom of just letting Jesus just, I don't know, just change it from the inside out and just understand his grace and his love. So love is our shepherd, leading us to true rest in our hearts. He offers us a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His luxurious love. His love is luxurious. He loves us. He cares about us. He is an awesome God, a powerful God, and he loves us incredibly. I'll send you the tape for the rest of it. It's a good message, but I never got to preach it all. But I've given the sound desk the notes, and if you want the notes, you know, there's no copyright on truth because it's God's word, and you can get a copy of it. And there's several other Greek words and Hebrew words that just really just spell out how God loves us and how God's heart is for us, and he brings us through amazing things. There was just one other verse I think I should read in closing, and because it's just an amazing scripture. In verse 6 it says, why should I, from the Passion Translation, it says, so why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Think about it. God's love and goodness right now is pursuing you. And my word to you this morning is stop running. Let him catch you. Thanks, Ma. Let him catch you and let him fill you with his love and his goodness. And just let Jesus breathe on you and just rest in him and just let God, Lord, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not going to fight the condemnation of being a failure. I'm not going to fight this condemnation of my marriage failing and I'm divorced. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. When you feel broken, God loves healing broken people. We're all broken. We're all busted up. But Jesus comes and you just let Jesus' love fill you, his goodness and his kindness. Let his love envelop you. Don't run from. And let God's love fill you and breathe into you and just be made whole. He'll make your whole body, soul, and spirit. Salvation is a change of life. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a change from the inside out. And I can tell you, as you could probably testify yourself, the change is gradual. And as Mark Zare has always said, slow and steady wins the race. It's not for the swift, slow and steady. Can I encourage you this morning as I step down from this platform, and thanks, guys, for having us and praying over us and honoring us is such a blessing. We are excited about the new season. We're going to pastor and coach and mentor all of the American staff of Hillsong Church. And it's pretty exciting. You know, God's doing amazing things across America. And we're kind of sad about leaving Australia because I honestly believe that's on the verge of an incredible move. Scott Morrison, a Pentecostal prime minister, who I'm not just name dropping this morning. I happen to know him because I used to look after him at Hillsong Church. I used to host him and pastor him and take care of him. He's an amazing man. He's not perfect. But I tell you, he's a godly man with a great marriage. And he doesn't need me standing on this platform talking about the Prime Minister of Australia, but God put him there. It's a miracle. And I personally believe Australia is on the verge of an incredible move of God. When there's heartache and heartbreak, somehow I think it turns people towards things that are most important. And houses have been destroyed and people's lives, and people are going to have a tough Christmas. But it's time for the church to rally. There's never been a time like now. Come on, church, let's rise up. Let's love people on the Central Coast. Let's love people unconditionally. And Father, we just thank you today. We just love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're our shepherd and our best friend. And Lord, your love and your kindness and your goodness pursue us. And Lord, we're not going to fight. We're not going to doubt. We're not going to second guess ourselves. Today we say we are loved by you and we love you. We have all the Father's love, and so we thank you this morning, and we embrace your love. It's your kindness that led us to repentance. And Lord, may your kindness continue to lead us until one day when we stand before you and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. But Lord, in the meanwhile, we're just going to love, love, love. Reach out and build relationship with lost people. We thank you in Jesus' name.